This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
It's not fair.
I'm an Andrew Gunling fan.
Just take the L.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gunling.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt.
That's right, Andrew Gunling, an ENN vehicle here tonight. It looks like it's just gotten very, very dark, very windy up here where I am. It looks like we're going to have some weather. It looks like we're going to have some weather. I do.
Is the TV getting fuzzy?
If I were to ever meet Mike Trout, I don't even think I'd want to talk baseball with him because he's like a storm chaser.
He is.
I think I would want to just kind of like – I just want to kind of talk weather with him. But at any rate.
You love weather.
Peter, I do. Peter, how are you?
I'm a big Bugles guy.
And Chris Carlin, how are you?
I love carbs. I love sauce.
I knew it.
I'm with you.
I knew that would be very good.
I would jump in naked and swim around in that.
Right. Sure you would. Don't worry. It's not anything weird. It's not. When he was doing that, it wasn't anything weird. He was talking about the glaze waterfall at the Krispy Kreme store.
No, nothing weird at all.
Yeah, I don't. Lest you think something strange is going on.
That's a
don't
big
worry.
Fat WHEN, my friend.
Right.
What a visual. All right, here we go. There's a lot to catch people up to speed with as unbelievable events have been transpiring ever since yesterday afternoon all the way up through right now. We'll start with the NBA. No NBA playoffs tonight. Last night, it seemed to be in doubt whether or not the playoffs would resume. Today, Woj is reporting that the postseason will resume. We don't know when. Either Friday or Saturday is what we're expecting. Meanwhile, a pretty big name has been serving as a go-between for NBA players and owners during this situation. A man who knows a little bit about both sides of this, Michael Jordan. Jordan, owner of the Charlotte Hornets and the only black majority owner in the league, reached out to Players Association President Chris Paul, league sources told Jackie McMullen, in advance of the owners' meeting to get a better understanding of what the players hope to achieve going forward and to offer assistance as they make their case to the Board of Governors. The owners held a virtual meeting on Thursday, earlier today, and Jordan was a voice of reason, sources said, urging owners to allow the players to express their frustrations and concerns before offering any of their own solutions.
You know what? Good for Michael. Because my initial thought for Michael in that kind of a case would be, based on what we saw in The Last Dance, would be get out on the floor and try to win a championship. But no. You know what? I'm glad that Michael's involved. I also heard that Dwayne Wade was involved as well.
Mm.
Our friend Taylor Rooks tweeted that earlier. That Dwayne
wow.
Wade has been a large part of the conversation.
Yeah, the Jordan angle is, not to take anything away from Wade, but the Jordan angle is interesting to me just because
totally.
this was the knock against him is,
yeah.
You know, his kind of, I don't know if refusal is too strong of a word, but kind of his refusal to sort of get in the middle of these sorts of issues in the past. And that was, like you said, well documented in the documentary about him. So seeing him kind of go front and center here and try to help in any way that he can. I think it's kind of refreshing for people who want to see him take more of an active role in these things.
Yeah, and I'm sure people could nitpick and say, "Oh, it's different now. He's not a player, and he's not the blah blah blah." And it's more in vogue to do so. And listen, there are reasonable arguments all around that. But aren't you just happy to see it?
Yeah,
he wields a ton of power.
And at the same time, it is a different time from the standpoint that. I think that Michael, after seeing The Last Dance and seeing how all of that played out and realizing it's a different time, might have actually looked at it as something that might be a flaw for him. And maybe
that's a good point. Because that episode had to be, when he saw that episode, where basically he wouldn't even stand next to his mother.
Yeah.
In a Senate race against one of the most
Thurman.
Vile racists. No, Jesse Helms.
Jesse Helms, okay.
One of the most vile racists ever. And he wouldn't stand against him with a guy who was endorsed by his own mother. Michael looked bad in that episode.
Yeah.
And maybe he's like, you know what? I'm ready to change that image. He already at least pledged a huge donation to social justice causes from Jordan Brand. So, hey, good for Michael. I'm happy to see it.
Yeah. Let's see. Meanwhile, in hockey, the Islanders and Flyers were scheduled to play game three tonight. That will now not happen as their game, along with the Vancouver-Las Vegas game, have both been postponed as the league stands in solidarity with other leagues. Sources had told ESPN that the NHL and NHLPA had been in communication over the past 24 hours, but that the league would not initialize a stoppage unless there was a strong push from the players' side, which eventually we did see. Barry Trotz of the Islanders spoke about the way in which his team, the Islanders, have handled this, saying, "I think we're a pretty mature group. I'm trusting that the group and the leadership of guys like Anders Lee, and they're excellent in that way. They understand the importance of the playoffs, but they also understand where the world is right now. What happened Wednesday, we weren't really informed what was happening. We were playing when all this happened. As you get to digest it, I think what happened last night is a great statement for athletes. They have a great platform, and they get to use it." And the Islanders, along with the NHL, are using that platform tonight as well.
Again, the more solidarity there is, the better. And for the league to do that, I think it's great. I am, again, just very curious as to what this leads to, what solid action this will all lead to. And I think we'll have a decent idea of that within the next week.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. Also, WNBA playoffs tonight, that will not happen as well. No announcement yet as to when play will resume for that league. In baseball, A's, Rangers, Phillies, Nationals, Twins, Tigers, Red Sox, Blue Jays. Those four games all postponed tonight.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
One player who's expressed actually a little bit of disappointment in the somewhat scattered approach that baseball has taken to these postponements is Jack Flaherty, pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals. He tweeted in a series of tweets, some of which have since been deleted. He tweeted, "Why is it so hard to do something unified for one day? Putting our players in the position to force cancellation of our games isn't right." And then in all caps, he wrote, "We are the only sport playing today. Let that sink in."
And he actually didn't. He did sit out last night. He was one of the two guys on the Cardinals that did. I can't remember who the other one was, but he did sit out that game last night.
And just in case people don't know, he's a white player.
Yeah.
And good for him. I mean, it is true. Like, in one sense, how do you guys feel about this? In one sense, it feels sort of lame for every other team and league to now be obligated to cancel to keep up with the Joneses. But at the same time, you cannot deny that baseball is maybe the most conservative of the major sports, and they are the only league now playing, including hockey. It's tough. You don't want them to do it for the wrong reason, but like, it's a league that does not have a huge percentage of American black players, so it probably would need a little bit of a push from white players like Flaherty to make this decision, and obviously there weren't enough people who cared to do so. So I don't know. It does look kind of bad, no, Andrew?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And look, not that there's. In kind of comparing it with the other sports, like WNBA, NBA, NHL, they're not just postponing games. These are playoff games. Like, these are games of like even greater significance. And, you know, baseball, like, it doesn't seem like it would be that hard of a decision to make and an attack to take for them. There's no fans in stadiums, so it's not like you would kind of be canceling games on fans who have paid for parking last minute, things like that, that could maybe cause some angst among your fan bases. It's just,
you already canceled games every other day.
Right. It doesn't seem like it would be that hard of a decision to come to. But clearly, I guess there's more behind the scenes that we're not either privy to or aware of.
How about this, though? Okay, so first of all, it was Dexter Fowler was the other players, RJ and Michael, who was listening, just texted in. How about this, though, from David Price, who tweeted this earlier today? Quote, I am not an activist, and, quote, what are we doing this for? They are two questions that stuck out in my mind that baseball players said yesterday. How crazy is that? You don't have to be an activist to speak up for what's right. You're just a coward.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're saying I'm not an activist and what does it mean and why are we doing this? Just pay a little bit of attention to it.
Now, Andrew, so I guess you got to mention this weird Mets story, huh?
Well, yes, although I was kind of leaning on one of you two to do that, because there's a video right now circulating on Twitter that I've only seen people commenting on, but I haven't had a chance to watch it myself. So I would feel a little bit.
I just saw it right before we were coming back, so I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. RJ, do you have that video?
I can explain it if we don't have the audio.
Okay.
It's Brody Van Wagenen. It's talking, but it seems as if it's not during a presser. It's like it's after the presser. And he's discussing a plan, which he says Major League Baseball wanted to have. They wanted to have the Mets take the field, leave the field, and return an hour later. And Van Wagenen is critical of the idea, and Manfred, saying, quote, about Manfred, he just doesn't get it.
Okay, so I have the transcript of it.
All right.
Right here. Brody Van Wagenen. Baseball's trying to come up with a solution to say, you know, what would be super powerful. Three of us here can't leave this room. I wonder if Brody's saying that to the people who are in the room.
Oh, my God.
You know what would be really great? If you just have them all take the field, then they leave the field, and then they come back and play at 8:10. And I was like, what? Then unidentified voice. Who said that? Van Wagenen. Rob. And with Jeff, scheduling's going to be a nightmare, and there's so much at stake. And I said, Jeff, that's not happening. Unidentified voice. They're not dealing with reality. Van Wagenen. They're not playing, but that's Rob's instinct. And Rob, exactly what you and I were talking about, at leadership level, he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. Anyway, we're waiting. Jeff wants to hear, as soon as we hear from the Marlins, whatever we do, we need to coordinate with the Marlins. So as soon as Conforto hears from Rojas, Miguel Rojas, let me know because Jeff is standing by for that call. So they're discussing about what they might do, including the potential of going out there at 7 o'clock and then leaving the field and not playing and then go back at 8:10. And it sounds like that this was.
So it sounds like Rob Manfred
conversation.
So if you see the video, it looks like it was a conversation taking place in their press conference room in front of, I guess, what was a hot mic that they didn't realize, or somebody was recording this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, so real quick, guys, I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer. What the suggestion here is that Manfred is attempting to do some sort of fake coordinated gesture, as opposed to in an effort to have games played, as right. opposed to having the players take off, which
and
they just
saying
want
that
to
it
do.
Would be super powerful.
Well, it might have been had we not known that it was a calculated stunt.
Correct.
Right. And yeah.
What's the bigger story here? Manfred sort of attempting to do something like that, or Van Wagenen saying it in front of a hot mic?
Again, the answer is yes, I think.
Because I mean, like, your gut reaction is to kill Manfred, right?
Yeah.
And to say, well, he doesn't get it. He's just looking for drama. However, maybe there's an angle where a lot of players did want to play, and he's trying to help. He's trying to come up with an idea that maybe could have an impact. it would have been impactful. To Andrew's point, it would have been impactful. The same way the Bucks moment was impactful. It would have been like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, the Mets are doing something. So I know it's easy to kill him and go, oh, he's faking it. It might have been useful, but for it to be put out there like that, it makes Manfred look bad. It makes BBW look like he's just loose. And obviously, I mean, I can't imagine that does wonders for the Mets relationship with Rob Manfred.
Oh, the Mets. It's just always the Mets.
And I'll tell you this, too. I mean, Manfred's not a guy that lets this kind of thing go easily. You know, it's not going to roll off his back.
And to think yesterday, the only energy around the Mets was they found a way to win in spite of blowing the lead. And more importantly, what an awesome and emotional statement from Dom Smith.
Yeah.
Like that was really the only thing related to the Mets was that the Mets had maybe the most powerful baseball moment that had existed in this yesterday.
So Brody, apparently it was a live camera recording it and did not know the camera was recording him. It was a camera in the back of the room.
And who
leaked
it?
Something like that.
Who's the media who first put it out then?
Video via a kid who was named Nick. Nick something. And from University of Maryland, 21. So he may have been an intern or something like that.
Well, he was from University of Maryland. I take no responsibility for this.
Yeah. Nick CCO18.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be the real Mets part, is if the person who was recording it had no business being there in the first place.
Or the camera would just might have been left on and this person, Nick, if he's an intern, went back to get it and is checking that out and now realizes what he has. I mean,
but someone posted
this is bizarre, and it's obviously Brody destroying Rob Manfred.
It's easy to say this. It's easy to say this in hindsight, and this is kind of a side issue to the real issue here, which is what action baseball should take. But the fact that Brody Van Wagenen would be having a conversation of that nature in a room with microphones and cameras, and I guess an intern somehow somebody saw this that probably wasn't supposed to. I just can't believe that he would be so. Who was it before that said just kind of like free and loose in such a like delicate and sensitive conversation? That's amazing to me too.
I know, but like I don't know that we don't know at the time when that would have happened, right? So that knowing the logistics a little bit of how that goes out at the game, some of those cameras may have been shut down. There may have not been anybody else in the room. They may have been taken down.
Not all those cameras were shut down.
Clearly, there certainly weren't open mics all over the place. There was just this.
Wait, hold on. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Again, I'm not that bright. Keith Olbermann just tweeted. He retweeted the video of Nick and said, unless this is somehow fabricated or the greatest misinterpretation in the history of the sport, Commissioner Rob Manfred has to resign tonight. This is indefensible, cheap, sordid, racist. So what am I missing that would make
it? I'll read you the transcript again, okay?
One more time, read me. This is Brody Van Wagenen talking in front of a few people in the press room.
Here's Brody. Baseball's trying to come up with a solution to say, you know what would be super powerful? You know what would be really great? If you just have them all take the field, then they leave the field, and then they come back and play at 8:10. And Brody said, and he was like, what? And person asked who said that, and he said Rob. And with Jeff, scheduling's going to be a nightmare. I don't know what that means with Jeff.
So that's something about is that
there's so much at stake. And I said, Jeff, that's not happening. And then Van Wagenen went on to say, but they're not playing, but that's Rob's instinct. And Rob, exactly what you and I were talking about, at a leadership level, he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. So I don't know where Rob would. I mean, it's a bad idea, but it's showing some sort of a solidarity to it, I guess, in his mind.
Well, I guess the idea is that he's trying to placate it and not actually do anything real.
Exactly. Placate it, but then still play the games.
Because, and I understand.
Because what's Rob worried about right now? Rob is worried about all the games that they have already missed and have to squeeze in here over the next month plus. And I'm thinking that the last thing that Rob wants to do is cancel any games because of anything else besides Corona right now. You know, if that's the argument, then I get it. If Rob just doesn't give a damn about that, which I think that's tough to pin on him. But if the argument is Rob doesn't want to cancel any games at all because they're so worried about getting every single game in to fulfill contracts and such, then I get where Keith is coming from. I don't know that Rob's going to be, I could be completely wrong on this. And I don't think Rob's going to be resigning over this.
How many radio morons does it take to interpret one story? Because I don't understand.
I don't know where Keith is getting that part of it from.
I'm not saying that it's not a bad look. Sorry, Andrew. I'm not saying it's not a bad look, and I'm not saying it doesn't seem cheap or lame, but sordid and racist, it seems like that would be a big reach unless I'm not understanding it.
Well, one element of it, look, maybe this is a time also where the commissioner, his relationship with this group of players is about as poor
right now.
Right, yeah. Given everything that happened in the build up to this season. And so now with that sort of as your backdrop, in a time when maybe minority baseball players are already feeling marginalized in some way by what's going on in this country, and you have audio of Brody Van Wagenen kind of signifying in some way that Rob Manfred is more concerned with optics and getting the games in than he is with the actual feelings of his minority players.
Right.
And so that maybe that could be interpreted as for some people, a fireable offense.
Yeah, I hear. Okay, so by the way, I figured out a little bit more about how this ended up existing. You want to know the Mets part? This was streaming on the official MLB website. It was the Mets pregame presser on the live stream. I'm watching the video now on MLB.com. It goes for 30-some minutes. There's dead air, and then it just kind of picks up with him talking. So this was one of their own cameras streaming it to MLB.com.
That's why I said before, there's a lot of rooms in Citi Field. To have this conversation in the room that's filled with cameras and microphones.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
I can't believe it. I just can't get over that.
There are a lot of people that say he needs to resign immediately. And
then I'm not understanding something.
Well, I think that's just it. I think what the discussion here is simply that if you're Rob, you have to show a lot more empathy toward the situation than just let's do something half-assed and pretend like we care, than actually do something that will cost us a night of games.
Right. It feels like he's saying this just so the optics align with the other sports, but we can still get our games in. You know, we'll, it's almost, you could almost read it as though let's placate our minority players. Still be able to play.
Question for you. What are the chances Brody Van Wagenen doesn't like Rob Manfred and had the conversation intentionally in front of the cameras, unintentionally by accident, so this story gets out there, ruins Rob Manfred? Because, to your point, who in their right mind has that conversation in a room full of live cameras where there was just a press conference?
To me, that's 0%.
Zero.
Zero. If he wanted that story out there, there's a way to do it without also making himself look ridiculous. He could leak it to any number of reporters in a way where it doesn't necessarily need to be traced back to him, but he could still get the story out there.
But now he looks better because he's condemning it.
Oh, here's something.
Well, he's the one saying that Rob Manfred and Jeff Wilpon don't get it. Or I assume it was Jeff Wilpon, but he gets it.
So
go ahead, Chris.
There's a couple of things. There's the insinuation by some on Twitter. Tim Healy says, more from the video, Jeff Wilpon was pushing for the Mets to play tonight. Brody Van Wagenen, at the 37-38 mark, is talking about that. but it sounds like the 2-hour-long upload was blank up until about 35 minutes, and then the conversation with Brody began, and then it goes back to being blank.
Incredible. So this, so what we said about this possible intern from Maryland or whoever, that there is no intern who leaked this. This was just out there publicly for anyone.
It's there right now.
Oh, my goodness. Now, we do actually, I can't promise you that the quality of the audio, because he's not necessarily speaking into an actual microphone, but we do have audio of this exchange. If you want to hear it again, you can actually hear tone and inflection and all that from Brody Van Wagenen. So, RJ, if you have that, we'll listen to it.
They're mulling that over. Baseball's trying to come up with a solution, saying, no, you know, it'd be super powerful. Three of us here can't leave this room. Miss Dana. You know, it'd be really great if you just have them all take the field. Then they leave the field. And then they come back and play at 8-10. And I was like, what?
What's it?
Rob. Because Jeff's scheduling is going to be a nightmare. There's so much at stake. And I said, Jeff, that's not happening.
They're not dealing with reality.
They're not playing, but that's Rob's instinct. And Rob, not exactly what you are, but at leadership level, he doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. And
that's so...
Anyway, we're waiting. Jeff wants to hear, as soon as we hear from the Marlins, Conforto, whatever we do, we need to coordinate with the Marlins. So as soon as Conforto hears from Rojas, right, Miguel Rojas?
Yeah.
Let me know, because Jeff's standing by for that call, and then we...
All right, so that provides the context that I needed there. Okay?
Which was what?
You hear the tone in which he's talking about. He says, Jeff is saying, well, there's so much at stake. In other words, Jeff really wanted to play. And Rob really wanted him to play. And the players don't want to play. That's the whole insinuation. So Rob's like, well, why don't we just do this where they go back on the field an hour later so that we play the games. That's where the insensitivity is. It's in the tone of what was being said there. You know, it doesn't read as well in the transcript, but you get the point that now it's about Manfred wanted to do this. Jeff wanted to still play. Oh, there's so much at stake. We still want to play. In other words, there's money at stake financially. And with that being the case, so now you have Rob looking bad, Jeff looking bad, Brody looking good.
So this feels like a potentially big story that people might want to weigh in on. I'm going to go ahead and end ENN right there.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.